Roach Coach
Podcast.
Hot all day,
every day.
This is the Roach Coach
Podcast.
All day, every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Roach Coach Podcast, the journey to create the new metal canon. My name is Lauren Kozlowski. With me, as always, the original Roach Rider, Mr. Matt Noz.
Keep it rolling, baby.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, back with you for another very special episode of Roach Coach, creating this new metal canon one album at a time. This week, we're doing it all again. We have all these albums across the years, across the stratosphere. And we talk about riffs, and we talk about pit activation, and we talk about all these things, like, what was it like making it? And we've got another one where we're like, you know what? Let's go straight to the source. What was it like to make this record? And you may know him from the comments section. You may know him as the guitar player in I Burn. It's Dave Fogarty.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Oh, yes.
How's it going?
Dave, thank you for coming on the show. A couple years ago, you mailed out to us a bunch of copies of your album, I Burn, by I Burn. And I put this thing on, and I was like, oh, we got some rippers in them hills. And you graciously said you would like to come on and break down the record with us. And so that is what we are doing today. We are talking about your band's debut album, I Burn by I Burn. So to start off, normally, you know, we'd say like when the album come out and everything. I would say, Dave, walk us through the journey of nu metal fan to nu metal creator.
Oh, wow.
For you.
I'm from a small town in the south of Ireland called Clonmel. It's in Tipperary, south central Tipperary. And I was a Woman of Silence reference if you didn't get that one. I listened to everything at the beginning, just hard rock, grunge, everything. And at the time, the term nu metal wasn't out. So I was listening to bands like Korn and Deftones, and they were considered alternative metal. So when I was listening to it all together, I didn't really see a difference in it until, you know, bands like Papa Roach and all that came out. And would have been early 2000s, I would have been starting my first bands. And, you know, all the other guys, like, we didn't have the luxury of being in, you know, picking a subgenre. So we were just happy there was enough of us to be in a band, you know. So we were just, hey, check this out, check that out, you know, giving me Sepultura. I'm giving them some of my French nu metal bands, which I found completely by accident. And eventually, up until 2005, I found this French band called Sick on MySpace. And like, do you remember in MySpace when you go onto a page and the song just plays straight away and just blows the face off you?
Yeah.
Sick did that with their song, and it was just, what, oh my God. I was like, holy shit. So I got in contact with them straight away, and we were just exchanging messages the whole time. And I said, you have to come over to Ireland to play. And they said, look, just fly us over. We'll sleep on your couch. No problem. And we did. We brought them over, and the singer Charles, he said he was a producer as well. He has his own studio. So he said, like, come to France and, you know, we'll make a good album for you. Because at the time in Ireland, the recording for metal just wasn't good. It was just, you know, we couldn't get a sound that was like your favorite band. You know, it just wasn't happening. So we said, he cut us a good deal. We went over to France. And the band I was in at the time was called Thoughts of Ruin. And we were really heavy, you know. We were like somewhere between Strapping Young Lad and Chimera. So like, that was completely like not what you expect. But one of the songs on the album was called God Complex. And the chorus was just this big nu metal riff chorus. And Charles sang on it. And that was the first time I heard like, okay, this style of singing over my riffs. I like flicked the light bulb. Holy shit, that's really cool. So that band's album came out the following year, and then it was really like myself and one of the guys, we just had a huge argument. I ended up leaving. So instead of like doing the mature thing of like, dude, we should talk. It's like, no, I'm going to start my own fucking band. So it was kind of like, I Burn is kind of like a spite band, so to speak. And, so I just rang Charles again. I said, look, book me in for 2 weeks in August. I don't have a single riff or a band. Just book me in for these 2 weeks. And this would have been April 2008, and the album recording was August. So I had that much time to like write all these songs and put a lineup together. And it was essentially just myself and the singer Matt. He was in a band called 23, and they were awesome. They were really heavy, and they were the first band to call me when I left Tessaroon. And then they were like, oh yeah, Matt's after leaving. So I just called him and I said, look, I have 2 weeks in France. Let's just write something and go over there. And pretty much that's how it was. It's like, it was a really unusual kind of reverse way of doing an album, like doing the album first and then putting your band together, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah,
you had sent me sort of a little mini doc of the making of, which appears to be boys being boys in the south of France having
pretty
the time
much.
Of their life. You're out there by the pool and then you're like, let's go in and make some riffs, you know, which, you know, sometimes that's the way to make a record. And, you know, I mean, part of me was like, is this, when I was watching, I'm like, is this the Indigo Ranch of Europe? Like, is that what I'm looking
at? Of Southern France?
Of Southern France?
Not that studio, but the other studio we used for the previous band, Tots Room, we used a studio called Cox in Hell. And that was pretty much, like, it reminded me of Indigo Ranch big time. COX, oh, by the way.
Nice. Okay.
Which is the French for ladybird.
Ah, perfect.
There you go.
Let's talk about I Burn Here. The record, yeah, when did the record, like, actually get released?
We self-released that, I want to say, late 2009, 2010. It just took ages to get it done. When we were doing the album, it was, we didn't have a drummer. So Charles was like, program the drums, we'll have a guy play drums when it's all finished. This guy, his name was Guillaume Dupree, he played for a band called Etz. And we just couldn't believe the results we were getting from him. And then, like, when we did the album, we were coming back, we're like, this is awesome. We're so going to get signed. This is going to be fucking great. And then complete global financial collapse happens.
As it does.
That was pesky recessions. So, like, that happened. And, like, we sent it to so many labels. And, like, you know, a lot of the big ones, they did get back. I mean, Nuclear Blast, for instance, they got back and they said, look, we're just going to look after the bands we have now because of the way things are. And, like, in between when we recorded the album and when it came out, things had changed so much, like, especially in Ireland, you know, recession and everything. So kind of, we didn't have a chance to really, you know, do what we needed to with it. I think that's where it went wrong.
I know you guys have done two records. Is I Burn still an active concern? Are you guys on a hiatus? What's the story?
No, I haven't actually spoken to any of the guys in a long time, but if Matt was to email and say, send me some music and I'll sing on it, that's cool. We'll put it up on Spotify and whatever, you know. I'm up for that, at least.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about it. So on this record, it lists I Burn as Matt on vox, you, Dave, on guitar, Chuck on guitar, Richie, bass, and vox, and Clint on drums.
Yeah, Clint was the drummer we got when we came home. I was like, here you go, album's already done, just learn it.
There you go. Let's talk about the design here. This appears to be, is this metal shavings creating the logo of I Burn on the cover? Is that what we're looking at here?
No, it's burnt matches.
Burnt matches. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I really like how they do the side of it, the way it looks like the side of a matchbox.
I see. Oh, so yeah, look at that. I had not looked at the side. That is very good. Yeah. Yeah, and then actually, if I look at the back...
You failed, Lauren.
Listen.
You failed.
Listen. Maybe I just got...
Not only have you bogarted every copy of this album, you didn't even look at the side.
A lot of people don't think of that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't look at the side. I've been too busy looking at the cover.
You know I'm a spine guy. I'm a big spine
Matt,
guy.
You love spines. You love spines.
I love a spine. I love a good spine.
Matt loves a spine. When Bane broke Batman's back, Matt was the first person to text
me.
He was like, have you heard? And I was like, who is this? It's 1993.
It's me, Matt, the spine guy.
The spine guy from the future. We'll be friends. In the liner notes, we have some of the lyrics. We have pictures of the band. We have you thoughtfully strumming. Did you help design this? What was the thought process for designing the overall liner
notes? It was a guy from Limerick City called Ian Walsh. And for some reason, he didn't put his name in the credits, even though we told him to. He did a really good job. I was really impressed with it. It's just there's a bit of a mess about the printers, and I think there was a duplicate page there at the end. But, you know, other than that, I think it's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, everybody everybody looks good. You've got everybody represented in the photos. Yeah, you do get the ripple effect liner lyrics twice, but that's okay. In your thank yous, pretty nice. You do shout out the Matt does a shout out at the end to Tequila Beer, all the sexy women in Monaco for making it the best place in the world.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
And, I have to imagine, I have never been to Monaco, but if I ever get there, I'm going to have to like just, you can't blend in, I don't think. I think it's just very beautiful people.
Oh, wait, yeah, we were done like a day early, so we had like a day before our flights home, so we just went to Monaco. We met Bono there.
Whoa! He was just hanging out in Monaco?
Yeah, with his kids, so he lives there. He did back then, anyway. I think, yeah, he was nice to us because maybe he thought we were, like, rich or something because we were in Monaco, not just a couple of lads from the south of Ireland.
Okay. You know? But he recognized the fact that you were Irish, and so he was my people.
We called him over. Matt, because Matt's from Dublin, he has that big thick accent, so he's like, "Hey, Bono!" And you can just see him go, "Oh, no, I've been spotted."
One of my own found me.
But he came over and he chatted with you guys for like 5 minutes or something?
Basically. Oh yeah, him and his kids. Yeah, he was pretty cool.
Wow, that's good.
But then he destroyed all that goodwill later on by putting an album on my phone.
True. True. Terrible.
It's true.
Can't I remove this thing?
You could not delete it for years. My God.
It's his sin that he will have to bear. I was listening to a podcast recently where somebody, it was a younger person. And they said, "Why are we still doing this U2 thing? They got to go. Like, we're done. Stop trying to make U2 like an existing thing." And I remember the host seemed a little bit like, "We can't tell them to stop. Like, we can't tell them to go away. Like, they're still an active band." And the young person seemed like, "No, there's something needs to be done. I want them gone." And I was like, clearly people, like, I was obviously annoyed when this happened, but clearly there is a younger comportment of people that are resentful and angry at you too that I was not aware of.
It reminds me, I saw a tweet recently enough. It was like, the most unrealistic part of Taken was a teenager following you two around Europe in 2008.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's very true.
I was just listening to a show, and it's Pat McAfee. He covers the NFL, and he and his team are at the Super Bowl this week, the week that we're recording. And U2 has a residence at the Sphere in Las Vegas, and he bought a suite for his whole team, which he was very brazen and was like, "It cost $60,000.
Oh God!
And then he was like, "We all left early." And the panel goes, "I'm a deep U2 fan from like their start." So he's like, "Boy, War, Rattle and Hum, love it. No, tons of songs from U2. And no, some of the modern U2 songs." He's like, "They played 20 songs in a row that none of us knew."
Oh, no.
Like, none of us knew any of these songs. And he's like, what are they doing?
Hold on. I'm looking up. I'm pulling up. I'm going on to setlist.fm, my favorite website. I am going to just pull up a current U2 setlist, because now I'm curious, because that's surprising to me. I would think that these boys would hit us with the stuff that we know. Okay, let's see. Well, it looks to me like they're playing all of Achtung Baby, which last I checked is a pretty popular U2 album. I would say it's considered one of their classics. I mean, they close with like a run. Well, this is fun. Their encore is Elevation, Atomic City, Vertigo, Where the Streets Have No Name, With or Without You, and Beautiful Day. Listen, no one wants Atomic City. Get that out of there. And honestly, let's leave Vertigo in the past, you know? Let's just get that out of here. Don't
Is that the one where he counts and then says Catorce?
You bet. Grammy album of the year 2005. I don't know if you know.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
I every time I learn that information, I go, "Man,
wild. The Grammys are not about the music.
The Grammys looking at 2004 in music and going, you know what album really set the tone for this year? U2's How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. That's what everybody on the streets was talking about, baby.
Oh, God.
Certainly. Okay. They're truly, like, I just pulled it up. Mm. All right. 2004, Funeral, Arcade Fire, Mad Villainy, Mad Villain, well, College Dropout.
Okay, College Dropout. Funeral wouldn't have qualified because it came out after. Because remember, they're September to September. So I'm pretty sure Funeral wouldn't have qualified.
All right. Hot Fuss comes out in 2004.
Well, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to say that they should have given it to the Killers, Matt.
I understand.
Psychopath. But...
give it to the Killers. Mr. Brightside is on that album. So
It is. You're right, Matt. You're right. And I do like Hot Fuss, but at the same time, it feels like one of those overcorrections, you know? Like
Big overcorrection would have been they give it to American Idiot.
Feels more accurate though.
American Idiot truly does feel like a Grammy winner. It did win a Grammy, right?
I'm sure.
It had to.
It's
the perfect amount of shitty. Like it is absolutely. It's Grammy shitty. Like,
it's right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2004. What a year. What a year.
You know, I heard that that Laufey record. Yeah, she's like the Icelandic songstress that's basically doing Blossom Deary. And so I listened to the record and I was like instantly like, this is winning a Grammy. You'll never guess what happened.
What happened?
It won a Grammy.
It won a Grammy.
Oh my God, shock.
Big shock. It was like when you heard that Norah Jones record, you're like, well, man, this is it. It was kind of like, oh yeah, this is total Grammy fodder.
The Grammys going Grammy. They love a certain type of sound. That sound generally MOR. That's how it's going to go, you know? And then if you're a metal band to get nominated, they will look at your list and they'll look and they'll go, who's the oldest guy here?
Right. Yeah.
Who's old?
They absolutely look at that list and they go, okay, who's like actually in the culture and impacting it right now? Not
Are
them.
Are you sure it's that much talk? I think I've heard of Metallica. Give them the award.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
That was that.
Yeah. It's so weird because like at this point, it should have switched to Slipknot. It should have just been like, because
over.
It's not like Slipknot is a new band. Like they've been an ongoing concern for 25 years. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm.
So it is not like they're brand new. The torch should be passed, but yeah, it's absolutely like, nope, still Metallica. Like, okay.
Yeah, Slipknot gets it in the off years when Metallica doesn't put a record out. And if they happen to put one out at the same time that Slipknot does. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, looking through what was nominated for like Best Metal Performance, you know, it was a real like slim pickings. And people were like, oh, it should have gone to Spirit Box. I'm like, I guess. I didn't think like the Spirit Box song was actually like changing my life either.
They played that song at work last week. Jaded, and it was really, really loud.
Oh.
And everyone was like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like,
Spirit Box! They were Grammy nominated! They didn't win, though!
But they were nominated.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the other thing. Everybody from Spirit Box went to the Grammys. Do you know who from Metallica went to the Grammys? Rob.
Rob.
Just Rob. They were like, send the bassist.
He's still enthusiastic about it.
Listen, yeah, send the guy who's excited about it. Lars, he's not going to be excited about it. You know.
James is like, I'm good.
He doesn't want it. But let's talk some more about I Burn. You said, yeah. The reason we're here today, the reason for the season.
Grammy nominated I Burn.
Pudveen.
Yeah, produced, mixed, mastered. If I'm getting this name right, is this Callahan? Is that what we're saying?
Callaghan.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Goes by one name, just like you two here. Just like Bono, I should say.
He goes by Charles as well.
It looks like he was, you know, he did all the arrangements, everything like that. Would you say he was, in a way, like the secret sixth member of I Burn?
Totally. When we were coming over, his rule was like, never have songs that are more than 90% finished. And we're like, no problem, there it is. And but when we were there, he like, you know, we put the song down and he'd be like, hang on, maybe this riff could be like the main riff instead of a breakdown riff, you know, or maybe change this one out, you know. And he got in there with the vocals as well, you know. So it was really just putting it together as we're over there. I mean, again, you're doing it backwards. You're doing your album first and then you're putting your band together. And like, it is a weird way to approach it, but I think that's pretty common now, you know, for bands to just put it in the studio together.
Yeah, it seems to be. Yeah, you'll definitely hear like, oh yeah, you know, we brought this guy in after the fact, or yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know how many albums we've done where, you know, there was a guy who was around for the recording and then, you know, he was out, and then by the time that the album was, you know, being toured, you know, it was Bill on bass, yeah. You know, didn't play on the album, but he's doing the bass for us now. Maybe he'll be on the next one. So did you guys get to tour this record?
Just around Ireland, really. Okay. That was about it. Back to Charles, though, he has since moved to America, and he's worked with bands like Falling in Reverse and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He has a lot going on. Yeah. Okay. Shout out, Charles. You owe me big.
Okay. Yeah. This is what launched him. This is what launched him.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was his first time working with like a non-French band, basically.
Okay.
So better way to start than a bunch of drunkards. I mean, did you see the part in the video with all the bottles?
I did see all the bottles, and I said, this is how I know these were some young guys getting going, because they knew that they needed a long panning shot of alcohol bottles.
That was 2 days' work, by the way.
2 days' work? Dave, are you a ghost? How? What?
we're just Irish.
There it is.
This terrible this stereotype of Irish people drinking and all, it's absolutely true.
Okay. I guess that is the question then. Because I know right now for Matt and I, it's 10 a.m. Where you are, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. Are you pre-pub, post-pub? Is the pub part of your regular day-to-day?
Where I live now is in the middle of the countryside, so that's not a non-thing right now. But I am planning on having a few at home later, so that's what I do. Okay,
all right.
I'm too old for that anyway. Yeah. You turn 40 and you're like, ugh, no, home.
I feel you there. I mean,
YouTube rabbit hole. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Well, we talked about that. We talked about the liner notes. Let's dive into these tracks. First song is entitled Have Myself Again.
I feel like this pit is pretty activated at this point.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fucking what a ripper. Holy shit.
Wow. Wow. I got to tell you, right off the bat, I wrote in my notes, this is new AF. We are chugging. We have heavy riffs. An extremely hot open. Well placed on the album. Kicking things off right away. I mean, I gave this, you'll be happy to know, I gave this a dinner listen, put this on with some dinner, and I was like, oh, if I did not heat this up enough, these riffs will keep this dish warm. My lord. So very much enjoyed that. I it was very interesting to hear the various influences in there, because I got Fear Factory vibes, and then I got some Soulfly, and then I got a little bit of Alice in Chains in the chorus, which, Matt, how did you feel about that mild? It was like the mildest of Chainsing, I guess.
Yeah, this is strange because now I'm having in 1 year two Chainsings, of which I'm like, totally works. I'm completely fine with it.
Wow, there it is.
But the thing is, we didn't stick on it too long, and I'm so in. Like, I don't know. The song rips. When it gets to the chorus, it's like it is a great backup to give you the second before it goes in. But it's almost like the first chorus is a pre-chorus to get to the second chorus. And I'm like, good song craft. Like, it's just like, I like that stuff. And as an audience member, I would be like, it's just ratcheting. It's just like, okay, we've got the beginning that's just like, here's the assault or backup. Oh, you thought we were going to go back in? No, we're going somewhere else, and then we're going to go back in. I'm like, I like that a lot. I was thinking, Lauren, that you were going to say, I was eating dinner, and if I didn't need my table to eat on, it would have been flipped over. Because this is great table flipping music.
Matt, I can tell you that there was a concern that I was going to need to go to IKEA to get a new table, because I thought I was going to have to throw my body through it because of these riffs.
Did the Dudley Boys have to yell, grab the table?
Get the tables. Get the tables.
Get the tables.
Because I'm about to go through a couple for this one. Yeah, I was just, yeah, why not just jump off the top of my couch onto my table? Why not? The riff's there. I wrote down the most nu metal lyric I wrote down was the waste, the hate, the hurt, the pain, the fears that bring me down. If that ain't nu metal, baby, that ain't nu metal. Was there an overarching lyrical theme with this? How involved were you with the lyrics, or was your vocalist more involved with the lyrics?
I wasn't really involved. I just, you know, Matt went off and did his own thing. But mostly what he sings about, you'll see, is just his own personal experiences. You know, what he sees around him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think the song, I don't know, he's not here to say otherwise. It's just him moving on from, you know, previous experience, or even his previous band, you know, since this is a new project for him.
Yeah,
that would have been it. Like,
yeah, the lyric, have myself this way, leaving nothing, have myself this way so I can choose right. That definitely sounds like a clean slate situation. Sadly, no songmeanings.com comments. So, which I will say, why are there no comments on this song?
Yeah,
why are there not more comments on this
make
song?
Sure we add that on there. Like, this song is great. This band is great. Where are the song comments?
I'm going to create a bunch of bot accounts and fill it right up for you.
There it is.
Just release them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So strong start, hot start.
Hibern6969 says.
Matt.
Yeah.
Matt.
69420.
Yes, exactly. Hibern6920.
Very cool.
Perfect. Well, let's dive into the next one. It's called The Ripple Effect.
I need to fight to live my life, humble inside to reach new heights. I need to fight to live my life, humble inside to reach new heights. Let's go.
All right, all right. The ripple all effect.
Right. We're running through a lot of different sounds here. I wrote that we are both screaming and singing. We're doing it both here, Matt, and yet still ripping. I enjoyed this one very much. You boys are just finding the right influences here. And then also I like, and I don't know if this is intentional, and this might be a here's Pantera once thing, but when he says the ripple effect, I mean, the first thought is like Phil Anselmo in Pantera.
Oh, yeah. He used to do that the whole time. Oh. I mean, when we're doing shows, he'd be like, oh, yeah. He used to do that the whole time and everything.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Mini Matt Anselmo. Yeah.
I love it. So, yeah, I very much enjoyed this one. A little more smoothed out than the first one, but we still got those riffs. And we were all doing the bounce hands. We're bouncing. You're bouncing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Matt, how'd you feel about the ripple effect?
I liked it. The chorus to me, where he's like, I don't know if I need it higher or lower, because the way that it hits my ears, I'm not sure. But when we get into the verses, I'm locked in. When we got the riffs, I'm definitely locked in. So I don't know, just something about the chorus that I needed either a little bit more or a little bit, I don't know. Like, yeah. I have no solution. I just have where it hit my ears.
Matt, sometimes you just have needs, but you don't know how to explain them, you know?
Right.
And that's just how it is. I enjoyed this lyric, leaving hell, I can't help but smile. I like this lyric because, yeah, you're leaving hell.
You're leaving the worst place. What you generally do.
Generally, you're going to be smiling. The way he says it is sort of like, I get it. You know, I guess, yeah, if you're leaving hell, a place that generally, once you're there, you cannot leave, and you're getting to leave there, yeah, I guess you're going to be smiling a little bit. Yeah. You're going to see somebody be like, what's with this smile on your face? Just leave hell.
Didn't you hear? I am leaving hell.
I'm leaving hell.
Or at the very least, you're doing Keanu Reeves at the end of Constantine, like, you know.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I might be back, but I'm out right now. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. You know, I love Keanu Reeves, and I even thought that he was sleepwalking through Constantine. That's just something I felt I needed to say.
Whoa.
Hot take.
That take is hot.
I'm just
hotter than hell.
I'm just saying, guys.
Dude.
Can you tell me, like, when you were crafting a set list, you know, where were you placing, like, Have Myself Again in the ripple effect? Are these openers, closers, mid-show?
Usually Have Myself Again, depending on what other bands we were with, would be the bouncy one. Other than that, it'd be later on ripple effects. I could never find the perfect place in the set for it. Maybe second last, and then we usually drag out the middle, you know, so everyone's bouncing and stuff like that. But it's funny because I burn, like, the Irish scene, we were not liked over here at all.
What?
Because by Irish bands mostly, it's mostly a doom death trash metal scene. So in 2008, a new metal band rolls up, it's like, so sometimes if we were playing with rock bands, we'd be the heaviest band on it. And if we were playing with metal bands, we'd usually be the lighter one. So it was a tough thing to balance. But all the great new metal bands have that same struggle, I think.
Yeah, that can be the problem sometimes. You get slotted in and this audience is like, we're just here for the doom. Or, then it's going to be tough to win them over. because as we have learned, metal fans, they have opinions. They stick to them. They stick to them.
I know.
To their grave. Yeah. To their grave.
And you will be judged upon them.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. The most interesting thing I've found about new metal bands, though, is that... not new metal bands. I'm sorry. The thing I've found about metal fans is that they do have this sort of deference to classical music sounds, which I often call Christmas music sounds. They will oftentimes be very impressed by that, and it will baffle me. And, you know, we haven't talked about them too much in the show, but there's a band called Sleep Token that is really kind of taken over the world. Matt, have you had a chance to dip into some Sleep Token?
No.
Okay, Matt. Well, if you ever do...
I'm a huge fan.
Okay, so Dave's a big fan of Sleep Token. Now, Dave, would you... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I saw them last summer at Grassball Festival. They were awesome.
Lauren, you just
he so didn't want to hear what I had to say.
Yeah, you literally glitched out the moment I was like, let me hear about Sleep Token.
Listen, I just, anytime they come up, I disassociate and it goes to my technology.
He's doing it again. And
you disassociated so hard it made your computer fuck up.
That's right. Okay, so Dave, you saw them live last year.
Yes.
Okay.
I did, yeah. They were great.
Okay, because I think the thing for me listening to them is that I'm waiting for them to get to the fireworks factory. There's a lot of prelude, a lot of buildup, and it sometimes feels like the main guy, whose name is Vessel, is that right?
I was hoping it was Jerry Sleep Token.
Oh, Jerry Sleep Token? No, that's the other guy's
name. Gary Sleep Token.
Bobby Sleep Token. And the drummer.
They're
who's
like
just,
the Ramones. Everybody's named something Sleep Token.
I love that idea. That they should do that. It just seems like it's a real like wait to get to the fireworks factory with some of these choruses and like you're just they have this like long buildup and it seems like Vessel like really loves to like he wants to like sing and like be like very operatic in a way. And I'm like, I'm here for some riffs. You know, when I hear that you're a metal band and then I roll in and they're like, listen, there's a 3-minute intro, lots of strings, very. And I'm just like, can we just get to it? If we can just get to it. And maybe that's my impatience with Sleep Token.
I was the very same with that. And then they released that song, The Summoning. And I was like, holy shit. And the last album is amazing. Like I listened to start to finish when I was cutting the grass, you know, right on lawnmower. And by the time I was done, I was like, okay, I'm in. I get it now.
Right. Okay, this you Kreisgau challenged it. See, you took it through different scenarios. You
sure
put
did.
It on the riding lawnmower. Yeah. I don't have a lawn currently. Matt, is your lawn a situation where you could ride in lawnmower, or are you strictly push?
If I had to go back, I would go to push.
Oh, okay.
I'm fancy.
I feel like you're about to like unlock like a can of worms with your thoughts on.
No, I pay for lawn service.
Oh, okay, yay! It. Matt, you're living the dream, buddy. That's what you want.
I'm doing rich guy stuff.
Of course, you're like nothing richer than paying for somebody to mow your lawn.
Exactly.
Beautiful,
Rosemary.
Anything else about the ripple effect you wanted to toss down?
That's
okay,
what
beautiful.
Just a positive new metal catchy song.
There you go.
You know, that we thought would be it'll be a cool single, you know, and it kind of shows we want for an album, if we were going to send it to labels, we wanted to show here's our range in a little amount of songs.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we covered a lot.
Yeah. All right, perfect. Well, next up, we have the song Breakaway featuring Charles Callahan.
That's sick. Sick.
I can't believe you brought it down, Matt. Woo!
I had to. You can't play the whole song. I was already a minute 40 into it.
Oh, my Lord.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Chuggy start and stop these riffings. I wrote slam and chug. You can do that in the pit. You can do that with a tall pint. Either way, you can get it done to the song Breakaway. We're three in. That's three for three rippers, Matt. It's three for three rippers.
Yes. This one, the changing a little bit more pronounced. Don't hate it. Don't hate it. Just saying. We're almost at my changing max.
I love it, Matt. You just you have this changing threshold.
I do.
You
know?
And it's just over like time, pushing you. Pushing you, you know, you have you're trying to build up your changing immunity, but it's still there's a limit.
I'm getting inoculated. What what's happening is you're backing that changing up like with the gutter, the visceral, and then we bring it in just for a line, and then we pull it back, and I'm like, wait a minute, am I gonna get full change? No, I'm not. I'm good. This is how it's done.
That's right. This is how it's done. The lyric I wrote down, not standing still anymore, not waiting on nothing. That's right. Break away. Get out of there. Once again, this is Nu Metal AF. Dave, talk us through Breakaway. Talk us through. You're sitting there. You're like, I got some of the hottest riffs you ever heard. Let me just lay these down real quick and see what the boys can do.
Yeah, I was listening to a lot of Seven Dust that week.
Okay.
If you can hear that. Again, it's one of those songs that the demo arrangement is way different to what I ended up there. You know, a lot of changing around. And like, it pretty much the verses remained the same and a lot of the breakdown stuff. But the chorus, yeah, I wasn't sure how that was going to come out. And then Cal and Matt went in together and came out with this thing. And I was like, holy shit. You know, just this kind of performance. I was not used to having that on my music, you know. And it just blew me away and I heard it, you know.
Is that happening a lot? Like, I guess when you're in there and you're collaborating like that, have you found that that's an interesting experience for you as an artist where you have this idea in your head of how these things probably would sound and then they come back with this? Do you feel, it sounds to me like this was pretty productive, but I mean, have there been times where they come back and they're like, this is what we did to your riff? And you're like, what'd you do to my beautiful baby? What have you done? What have you done?
Not so much on this album, but all over the next one.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. My boy. My beautiful boy.
My ribs. Yeah.
My ribs. Well, I guess.
But for this album, like every change that came in, was like, oh, shit. Never thought of that, you know. And it was really like pure collaboration between the three of us mostly. And it just sounded, you know, just some things only happen when you're in there and the red button is pressed and it comes to you. You know, you could be working on a riff all week and it's like, fuck, this could be better. And then literally 5 seconds before recording, it just hits you, you know. I'm not really a spiritual person, but I'm pretty sure that there's a thing for that.
Riff ghosts. The riff ghosts, they come to you.
Riff ghosts.
And they say, this is,
they
possess you and they're like, do a little doodle-a-dee. It takes. We are rocking, we are rolling through this record. And let's just keep it going. The next track is called Found a New Way.
I found a way out of this mess.
Oh,
the monster's popped.
Monster's popped.
Activate that fucking pit, for God's sakes.
If it's not activated, what are you doing?
Protect the women and children. The pit's been activated.
We're bouncing. Oh, don't shit, worry. Man. Oh, my Lord.
Love that. Dude, not going in without a drummer and then getting somebody who lays that, you had to be like, thank fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I had no idea he was going to put blast beats in that moment. We just had a standard din 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 So when we heard it, we're like, oh no, poor Clint.
But Clint was up to the task, though, you said, right?
Nailed all of it. And he did it with a smile on his face for some weird reason.
The man loves a blast beat, and he's full of
Clint is the
full
man.
Of excitement. You love a guy who loves a blast beat, and he can do it with a smile. That's a gift. That's a gift right there. Dude.
Mostly Polish people do that, too.
So focused.
Yeah, I've played with a load of Polish musicians, and when they get to the blast beats, they look bored doing it. And I see other people just struggling. Like, oh.
Wow. And Clint's like...
Clint's like, struggle is life.
Yeah.
I love it.
He's a funny guy.
This one, I always talk about that there's a song where if you're seeing a band and you're, you know, in line for the bathroom, in line for concessions, and it comes on... You gotta either lose your place or you gotta run with them beers and get back for this one. You're wetting yourself in the pit somehow, some way, either with the beers or your piss that you've been holding. Either way, you can't miss this song. And this is the one. If Found a New Way comes on and you're like, oh, I'm gonna get another pint. Nope. Forget it, bro. You either leaving it or you're wearing it, but you gotta get to the pit. You gotta get there. This is a real hot one. Very much enjoyed this. Going to my notes, I wrote, we got a hardcore chug. We've got great screaming. Then you have a moody crunch in the last minute. And I wrote that this song, a journey I was happy to go on. And then, because it's a new metal record, Matt, the lyric, my eyes are open for the first time in my life.
It's almost like I was waking up, sheeple.
Sheeple!
I love this song. I love what happens is because I'm like, wait, is this Ivern's full hardcore song? And then you shift gears and it's like, no, this is a fucking new metal song. This is a big new metal song. Because when he's doing that, he's not rapping, but it's like he's delivering in that staccato type of like delivery of just like, here's the line and I'm saying it right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, that's new AF. That is as new as it gets.
Yeah.
Loved it. Great.
The song gets heavier from there too.
That I do not doubt.
It's probably one of the heaviest songs I've ever written.
I love that we heard as much as we heard and you're like, it actually gets heavier after this.
There's a part just before the outro which is pure grind and it's just, yeah, I love playing it.
There you are. There you go. We're just trucking along. We're just trucking along. Riffs for days. Pits activated. Beer being worn. It's what you want.
If you're lackadaisically holding a cup during this song, that fucker's getting popped out.
It's like, oh. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's gone. Yeah. Listen. Whoever's running the venue, hope you got mops. All right? That's all I say. Hope you got mops.
You better have a broom closet, and there better be some mops in there.
Better be some mops with some buckets, and you might need to spring for a little overtime for the staff, because it's going to be a damp, sticky floor if found a new...
Most of the venues in Ireland, the floors are sticky anyway.
Okay, fair enough. So that's a feature, not a bug. It's like, if you walk in and it's not a sticky floor, you're like, is this a new establishment?
Have bands played here?
Got to break this floor in. Just start dumping drinks on it before the show starts.
Between songs, all you hear is people walking around.
I love it. All right. Up next, this is quite a title. Rotting My Body's Strength.
Love it.
Becomes another test of me, a lesson to me, a a chance to make it real, bring out the best of me. Looking at the borderline, looking to the other side, pushing all the dreams alive. Got the goals I've seen aside, like an evolution. Find a solution, a bar of change, add another resolution. Clean the mess, no more pollution, and wipe it out, I'm through the intrusion. I can't let myself go, I can't let myself go, I can't let myself go, I can't let myself go.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I'm just going to point out on those verses, I'm going to say it. Is this motherfucker spitting?
This motherfucker's spitting?
He's spitting. He might be spitting. He just might be. He might be. I do really, one thing that was very impressive to me about this album, Dave, was that it was not the same eight songs. Every song you were like, it really felt like you were like starting from scratch. We're going to do something different here. We're going to riff up something different. And as you said, you know, when you're writing the one song, you're listening to Last Seven Dust. You're writing another song, listen to Last Stain. It's just like every day you were just like something new. You were not letting yourself rest on your laurels of one type of riff. And I appreciate that because we've done a lot of albums on this show. And sometimes people get into something. Some call it a rut. Other people call it being lazy. Other people just call it the formula. And you were like, listen, I want to do it all. Where I burn, we're doing it all. Real quick, the name I Burn, where's that from?
I wish I could say something cool like that Cure song from the Crow soundtrack, but I don't honestly know. I think it was on an energy drink.
Listen, sometimes you see something on an energy drink, it inspires you. You are drinking a Monster right now. People who follow me on Instagram know that I'm currently in my energy drink era. And I can tell you that some energy drinks are not created energy drinks are not created equal. There are all kinds. I recently had a C4 that made me think I was going to have a stroke, which was an interesting experience. Don't recommend that. Don't like that. And I did confirm. I talked to someone else who had a C4, and they were like, yeah, I did that shit to me too. So C4, maybe take it off the market. Oh, it might be bad.
A little too strong?
Maybe it's not bribing the FDA.
Matt, it made my appendages tingle in a way that made me concerned for my health. And it was only after talking to some other people, they were like, oh yeah, that's classic C4. And I was like, what? Okay.
It's like, hey, Lauren, it's named after an explosive.
Right. It's exploding the cells in your body right now. You signed up for this, bro. So I did. I can't remember who. It was a friend of the show, but I can't remember who it was offhand that messaged me and were like, you don't fuck with the C4? And I was like, no, not today, not ever again. Like, and they were like, oh, that's my everyday. And I was like, rest in peace.
That's your everyday?
I was like, rest in peace early. Like,
God.
I don't know. They may be built different. I might, you know, everyone's body is different. Let's talk about that. And we're talking about Rotting My Body's Strength. Can you tell us a little bit lyrically where our guy was coming from with this one? Do you know?
Again, Matt, he's writing about his experiences, and that song in particular, I think, was about a really shitty experience him and his friend had with some cocaine use, and watching his friend overdose, and that's some real shit right
there.
Very
much some real shit. Yeah, I'm over here being like, C4 like made me feel bad. Matt's like, ah, really?
Have you ever had bad cocaine in a car?
Yeah, that was the first time I ever had a singer in a band that was singing about those kind of experiences, because we're from the south of Ireland. We don't see anything like that. So Matt, being from Dublin, had all of these city experiences, so to speak, you know. So yeah, it was interesting to hear that. And musically, I think I was listening to a lot of like Watcha and Switched that week. You know, I really like that Switched song, Walk Away. It started off with a guitar part and then a nice drums underneath and then boom. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going for with that one.
Okay, perfect. Matt, anything else to add about Rotting My Body's Strength?
No, I like it. I like it.
There we go.
He
likes it.
What a rascal. Yay. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Up next, we've got the song Loser.
Oh my God. Get the fuck up! You idiotic maniacs, you get your soul. You are impressed, but not like us. Put down your head and shit down your throat. Roll me big and drop. Listen to the voice from the lungs that you tell. Reveling tight, strong up your living. Fall too late, never trouble and take on. Letting rise.
Oh my lord. So this one, I got big Slipknot vibes up top, big Iowa vibes up top, and you know, there is a line on Iowa where he talks about slitting your throat and fucking the wound. And I thought, you know, are there going to be any lyrics on this song that will, if not equal that, at least evoke that same sentiment of extreme violence? And the answer, Dave, you know this already, and Matt, you're about to find out, is yes.
It's a resounding yes.
The lyrics I wrote down, will tear off your head and shit down your throat. I would say, arguably,
message
worse.
Received.
Message received. I'll pluck out both your eyes. And then the lyric that I truly loved, there's a revolution happening. It's called Fuck You, Jay. Amazing.
We were foreshadowing Slipknot.
Yeah, maybe. You may be. This one is true. This one, clearly we're talking about some kind of, well, obviously loser, abuser of some kind, and getting incredibly visceral, incredibly literal. I can tell you that I may have giggled with glee when I heard the shit tear off your head and shit down your throat part. I was like, yeah, now we're talking, baby. This album ain't over. We're just getting started. When Matt comes to you with a lyric like that, do you just go, that's your truth, man, let's fucking do it. I wrote the riff. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get to that part in the video, but where I was in the boot with him when he was doing that song. So it was a part where he's being, raw fucking hell. I'm like right there with the camera and he's in my face doing it. I'm like, oh God, I picked the wrong song to do this.
Or the right song. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's weird. It's a song, it's about an actual person that he knows, and he names him in the song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Receipts, do we know, motherfucker.
Did this person hear the song?
I have no idea. Sorry. I wish I, you know, right, could have found that out.
I'm going to say yes.
Stuff. I mean, has
I'm
going
to say yes, and, you know, and maybe they listen to the coach now, so they're hearing it again.
I thought this was over.
I just wanted to listen to a nice podcast with Dave and an album that I know I was personally attacked on. Maybe they won't bring it up. Wrong, bro. Bringing it up. let me tell you, this was quite something. Really, really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Matt, how you feel about Loser?
Oh, so due to clever editing, you'll miss the part where I played this earlier in the episode. But this is the second time hearing Loser, and I fucking love it. I like the riff. I like how it starts. I like what's going on. I like the lyrical content. You ripping people's heads off, shitting down their throats. All right, let's go. It is most certainly aggressive.
most certainly. Absolutely. Dave, you had something else to add about Loser?
Musically, it was kind of like me and Matt's previous bands. It kind of, you know, we were those are the kind of songs that we were writing in our previous band. So of course, a little bit of that made its way onto it. And we used to finish with that when we played shows, and it was awesome. Because that outro.
You're done after that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, you're kind of like, can we top the rip off the head, shit down the throat song? It's like, no, I think.
I mean, you can't open
no,
with that song.
No. No, that sets a different type of precedence too. Yeah. Perfect. We've got a couple left. Matt,
which makes me ask.
Yes.
How respectful of our time is this an EP, I guess? Or is it an album? What would you consider it, Dave?
We've had arguments about this for years.
I'm hell yeah. So I'll respect a little of our time with this album, Lauren.
29 minutes long.
Fuck yes. All right, cool. Good for everybody to know that you could be entering your third listen.
As you listen to this episode.
I do wish I wrote more songs for it, but it just came down to budget, basically. Kyle in the studio, he charges by length of album as opposed to by day. So it could have been 10 tracks, but, you know.
Interesting.
We could but then you would have had to play for two more songs, basically. Is that kind of length? Or he would have been like, oh, that's four. That's an interesting way to do it. I'm like trying to figure out, like, because obviously the more songs you add, the longer the album gets, that's the more money for him. But if it's like, I don't know, that's.
I think creatively, I think it's the best way to do things, because if you lock down how many songs it's going to be and how much it's going to cost, then you can work around the time and you're not frantically trying to get the stuff done. Come on, we got $200 a day. We got to pay for the shit. Get it done. You know, you're not being rushed in the studio because you're, you know, there's cost saving involved. Whereas if you just, you know, take as much time as it needs to get it done, you know, there's less pressure on you then. So I think that's the best way.
Clearly, this is not how they do Cottonmouth Kings albums.
Let the tape roll.
Let it roll, man.
While I roll a blunt.
We've got 28 songs here. Let's just go.
Oh,
perfect. All right. Well, we got a couple left. Next up, we have Family Tradition. This was the most interesting, and really this song took me by surprise more than any other lyrically, because it seems to be about a journey of basically a broken home leading to this young man becoming like a violent delinquent, stealing cars and ultimately, you know, taking a gun somewhere that ultimately leads to him dying. I felt that this was probably something more like incredibly personal. When I first listened to it and I was noticing the lyrics, I was like, is this song anti-divorce? And then I was like, no, I probably go in. It's probably much more local than that, Lauren. It's probably not saying like, everybody needs to stay together for the kids, okay? But this one definitely much more vivid and definitely feels more like Matt was basically saying, like, this is a true story. Maybe just for dumb old me, he could have started with like, this is a true story. Given that the Britney Spears Lucky start. This is based
this
on
is a story of a girl named Lucky.
Lucky. And when she got a gun! Yeah, this one felt much more visceral in that way, just lyrically, than I think some of the other stuff, which you could still kind of get as like a party one. This one, not so much a party one. We're getting some lessons here. We're getting a story. Things are getting dark, very dark here. But I enjoyed it. Dave?
That was the first song that we tracked fully over there. Initially, Matt wanted to do it all singing. And you'll see it on the video. He was trying out things with Cal, and it wasn't working. So he came back later on. He was like, "I'm just gonna rap this whole thing." And Cal was like, "You're rapping." You know, he didn't expect there was gonna be rap vocals on the album at all. So that brings this whole other set of problems. Like, is he going to sound good rapping? Is he going to sound, you know, corny or cheesy or whatever? So he came in with that, and it sounded awesome. Lyrically, it's about just where Matt's from in Dublin, just the things that he sees around him. And, you know, real life shit that goes on up there. You know, I suppose it goes on in most other inner city places and stuff like that. So
here's where I was. I was like, oh, open for Papa Roach? Play this song? Come on. This is like, this is it, baby. Like, I'm like, yes, come on. felt it. I was like this, and it just thematically, it worked for me. I was like, yeah, this is new AF. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, this is right in the pocket. I appreciate you talking, Dave, about, you know, what was going on in Ireland in around 2008, 2009, because this is, you know, having a very Midwest United States view on things. You know, we are, you know, where I grew up, the suburbs of Metro Detroit, like when new metal hit here in the 90s, in the late 90s, it was just like everybody had big jeans, everybody had ball chains, you know, like it just kind of was like this cultural phenomenon. And then by 2008, like, you know, we mentioned it on the show multiple times, but like post really 2000, once you get to 2002, the wave has definitely subsided, and then everything really starts to fracture over here, especially when we're talking about metal. And we're talking about, like, this is the last genre that it was like world beating on the radio. Like, there really is never a another heavy band that cracks the way that any of the new metal bands did. I don't think that's wrong to say, Lauren. I can't think of, like, in the States at least, a metal band that's really been like, and here's number one from, you know, I can't.
It's very fractured out. And honestly, I don't know what it would take to bring it back at this point, because it seems like that's that type of music has been pushed down to its own sort of niche audience. And it doesn't seem like, I mean, as somebody has pointed out, with the playlist era and basically people sort of wanting these sort of just like background music, like this sort of not quite fully, I don't know, it's like it's the Drake of it all. People want this sort of like, I called it a air conditioner hum that sort of hangs out. That seems to be the popular production. The white noise,
White noise.
You know, I mean, if somebody could sort of like say some things over the white noise, that'd be great, but it's not necessary, you know. And with, when you're dealing with metal, and, you know, as and I'm an expert, all right, when you're dealing with metal, it's going to be abrasive. You can't ignore it. If you can ignore it, then it's not metal. I'm just going to say it right now.
Yeah, it does demand your attention in a way that not a lot of other genres, especially now, demand. Like, you put on a Drake mix, and it's going to feel like, oh, okay. You put on a metal mix, people are going to be like, to your point, when Sleep Token comes on, what the fuck is happening?
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, that's just, it's just the culture is constantly shifting. Maybe, who knows, something could happen. Somebody could come through and be the undeniable person that brings metal back to the top of the pop charts. But I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think they may not even have been born yet. You know what? Maybe there's somebody listening to this show and they're hearing our words right now, and they're becoming inspired, and they're about to send out, they're about to send a group text saying, get the boys together. It's time to storm the charts with some riffs and some screams. We're going to do it. It's going to be us. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the only problem is that this group of boys and girls, they might be talented, but unfortunately their name is Butt Burger or something like that. And that's, and they're just be like, and there's going to be one going to be like, well, what if we change our name? We've been Butt Burger. So also think about your name.
The songs are like 15 seconds long. Right. For the TikTok, that's true. Generation, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that? There was, I don't remember the artist offhand now, but it was like, he was doing a show and all the kids in the audience were singing along to the 15 seconds of the song that they knew from TikTok. And then after that, quiet.
That's tough. That's tough.
That's crazy.
That's tough.
That's like, usually if you hear a few seconds of a song that sounds good, you search out the rest of the song.
Right.
You know?
Nope. Not anymore. Not anymore. Nope.
Attention span.
Like, I don't need the full song? The full song? No.
Well,
not for me.
Deftones is really having a moment because, again, a resurgent moment. They never went anywhere, but it's like people are starting to use like Change in the House of Flies on TikTok, and they're using other Deftones songs on TikTok. And it's like, are they going to go back and hear the rest of the album, or is it just like, I watched you change and that's it? Like, that's all I want.
You know what though? But this has been a thing forever. We've just brought it down to like now it's down to like 15 seconds of a song. Because I remember, and I might have talked about this on the show before, I spent a summer working in the mall, worked at a store called Gags and Gifts, and I worked with this guy. And I'd be telling him, like, oh, I've been listening to this album and this album. And he would say to me, he goes, yeah, I heard that single. Oh, yeah, I heard the single from that album. And I go, oh, okay, have you listened to the album? And he went, no, I'm good with just the single. Drove me crazy. I'm like, you like the single? You don't want to hear the whole album? I'm just good with the single, Lauren. I don't need the whole album. I'm like, what? Made my head fall off my body.
How many albums do you have in collection? Because the single's great. And then you listen to the rest of the album.
Well, sure. I see that, but then I'm thinking, like, when this was going on, this was peak Napster era. It was very clear this guy was listening to an MP3. It wasn't like he was, you know, worried about his budget. He just decided, I'm going to seek out the one. He'd heard the one single. He downloaded the MP3, had no interest in stealing the other MP3s. He didn't even want to make the effort to steal. And honestly, as I'm thinking about this, I think there were other things that were annoying about this guy. So this was just like, you know, just another thing.
Put it on the pile.
There you go. We'll get back to
you. Oh, yeah.
Have Matt aim his pen directly at this guy.
That's right. Pull his legs off, beat him to death with them, something like that. Perfect transition to the last song in the album, Lost Time.
Stopped at around 8 o'clock. So still, no movement, so cold. I can't cry, cause I'm dead inside.
We can say
so, gonna need to get them lighters out.
Get those lighters. This is a real motherfucking deal, y'all.
This is the real motherfucking deal right here. Oh, yeah. Get them out. I mean, Dave, I know you said this is kind of also kind of showing the range of the band. You guys are showing, like, you guys can slow it down a little bit, get a little acoustic, but it still has some meat on them bones. This still feels like a sturdy track. My first listen, I remember thinking, like, maybe they're gonna drop into like a rock out, but they don't. But it's still, at the same time, you could if you wanted to. Yeah, and this is a very apt closer. Also, as I've said in the show, I enjoy when a band does an acoustic closer and they also decide to record it in the same studio that they recorded the rest of the album, as opposed to some people who decide, let's record our acoustic song in a shitty, unmiked room. Could we do that real quick? And I appreciate you actually taking the time to make sure that this song also sounds good. Yeah, I enjoyed this one. Perfect little closer there. I'm assuming, was this more your thought of like, yeah, I want to show the range, show what Iburn can do?
Yeah, Matt said, he just asked if we could have an acoustic song on the album. Lyrically, it's about these last few moments with his dad. So he wanted the right kind of song to sing about that over. And that's pretty much where that came from. So it is the real deal.
Yeah. That's, I think, what also makes it a more resonant song is having that true story, you know, true personal connection underneath, which I think is honestly a connecting thread through this album. You know, we're calling out real guys, talking about real experiences, real things that are seen, which, you know, is sold in the vocals. You know what I mean? These vocals, I feel like maybe we haven't talked about it. I mean, just the vocals are strong across this album. This guy, let's just say it, rapping, screaming, singing, yelling, chainsing. He can do it all.
He sure can.
Matt, how'd you feel about Lost Time?
I was like, perfect out, slow boy. We've had a good journey. So we've been on the ride. Need to slow down a little bit. Once again, my cup was changed, but it wasn't overfilled. doesn't run over, but it was like, oh, there it is. I know that sound. Hello, old friend. But, you know, it's one of those things where the subject matter pulls you back in. I found it to be exactly what you needed at the end to take you out.
There you go. There we go.
There we go.
And that's the
and
album.
There we go.
It's I Burn by I Burn. And now we're at the part of the show where we talk about
canon talk.
There it is. Yes. There we go. Dave, you're our guest. We'll start with you. Thoughts overall on this album and thoughts on it going into or in relation to the new metal canon?
I'm in the same position Blake was a few weeks ago. Would I put my own band forward? It's funny. We didn't really, like, as weird as it sounds, we didn't set out to make a straight up new metal album when we came over there. But as soon as we recorded Family Tradition, it was like, oh, here we go. Let's just go all in with it. And yeah, I'm proud of the fact that it is a new metal album. And, you know, I won't change any of that. And it still sounds great. I'm still really proud of it. And like, I've had people, you know, good friends of mine say that it's one of the last good new metal albums they've heard. You know, so that's also cool. So yeah, I don't know. I would put it in. But that's just me. Because it has everything a grown boy needs for
That's very true. It does have everything you need. Matt, I'll go to you.
You know, I was hoping you would come to me first, actually. Here's where I am on it. Number one, great fucking job. This thing rips. And 8 tracks is... I want more. So to have that feeling at the end of the album is a great place. The amount of new in this album is perfect. It's 2008, which is like very, I keep coming back to that because I'm like, nobody's doing this in 2008 and they're not doing it this well if they were. That makes me go, it needs to go in because this is a fucking lost classic. Like, what are we doing here? This thing needs to go in because this thing rips. It is representative of style. It is a come down record that punches way up. So yeah, done. I'm in. That's my vote.
Matt is in. I thought this record was definitely very solid. We're always rocking. We're going in different directions every track, and the production is very strong. The riffs rip. And initially I was kind of like, maybe just like a couple songs, but you fall into that trap where it's like, well, if I put in the ripple effect, then, well, why not also have Myself Again? Well, also Break Away. But then I'm like,
and then I'm gonna be like, you gotta put Loser in, because
you
when
gotta
it gets-
put Loser in, you gotta, he rips tear off your head and shit down your throat. And so at that point I'm like, I guess put the whole
you have
thing
five
in.
Out of eight tracks in
at this point, yeah. And so I was like, you know what? This is what the canon needs. 8 tracks, 7 rippers, shitting down a throat, 29 minutes. You gonna disagree with that?
No.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. You're not gonna disagree with that.
You disagree with that? We're gonna shit down your throat.
Sorry, I didn't see it. It's so funny.
So there it is. I Burn in the new metal canon. It's what it's all about.
Nicely done, Dave.
Nicely done. You're welcome. You know, listen, if you're going to listen, when people send us stuff, they send us songs, and it's always like the hope is like, I hope this person sent us a ripper. And I remember when you sent us this, Matt and also Jenny were like, well, how is it? Like, what's the story? And I'm like, well, I'll let you know. And I put this thing on and it's like, it's Ripper City. It's Ripper City. They got a song called the Ripple Effect. Might as well be called the Ripper Effect, because that's what this album's got. So, well done, Dave, and all the boys of I Burn. You're in the new metal canon. And Dave, what are you working on now? What can people find you online? What's going on?
Just, you can find me on my Instagram, on my YouTube, and everything. Musically, like, I just, for metal and stuff like that, I'm just putting songs up on my YouTube and stuff. But I'm also playing for a band called Mind Right. It's kind of alternative hard rock, you know, like the bands I listened to when I grew up, kind of like Helmet, Silverchair, that kind of stuff. So that's the kind of stuff I'm doing at the moment, but I do dabble in metal, you know, and if anyone wants a collab, they can. I can send
you
and stuff.
Love
there
it.
There you go.
And still have some copies of Ivern's album, so if anyone wants to get in contact for a few copies, please do.
All right, perfect. Send them your way. Definitely add this one to your collection. I mean, it's in the new metal canon. Get it on that shelf, baby. Absolutely. And that does bring us to the end of another episode of Roach Coach. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Keep on saying hello to us online. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. We're on all those. Patreon.com/Roach Coach Podcast. The pact is ongoing. Become a member of the Patreon and learn all about the pact. And also send us an email, roachcoachpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, Matt, thank you.
Lauren, thank you.
Dave,
thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, lads.
Bye.